Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Will.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so happy because my bestie's on today.
Who's your... I thought I was your bestie. What is that all about?
You're my guy bestie. She's my girl bestie.
Okay.
You
well, who is it?
More than one best friend. It's Jessica DeChico.
I am so excited. Well, let's see what she's got to say.
I hear voices. Welcome.
I think we'd like to start, if you don't mind, by you missed part of a conversation about the beauty that is my hair right now.
Wow. You know, now that you point it out.
Thank you.
They do say that Will has a face for radio.
I do, which is absolutely true. Absolutely true. And then you were missing a wonderful conversation about the incredible program Naked and Afraid.
Oh, yes.
Where I was asking, couldn't it be the same show if people were just wearing pants?
Well, hold on a second. Plot twist, we actually tweeted, because my husband and I are into these survival shows now, because we're, you know, I don't know, this is like fight or flight, you watch it for 30 minutes, and then, you know, as if, you know, you want your kids to go to bed, and I don't know why we watch it, it's a strange thing. But if you haven't, Jess, since you have littles, you might enjoy it too. There might be this weird survivalist thing where when your kids go to bed, you're like, I can't go out and drink,
let me
watch a survivalist show.
You know,
is it
like
the equivalent
that idea
of going to a bar?
It's fight or flight. You're like, is he going to get eaten by a bear? I don't know.
What show is this?
So there's Naked and Afraid, where people are naked and in like the Amazon.
A
and
real
they get
show?
Bit up by mosquitoes. Yeah, like that was a very successful show. And
it's
then there's
just
another
naked
show.
People in
I am so
lost.
Out of the loop. You know, this is what happens when you have littles. I'm like,
yes,
I'm missing so much stuff.
And
okay. Teach me.
We're going to keep you updated. We're
going to do.
Anyway, I did tweet Naked and Afraid a few years ago, and they tried to get us to come on that show, me and Brendan.
Oh, my God.
Do they blur out? Do they blur out your...
They were like, no, they emailed us. They were like, if you guys are really interested in being contestants, we'd really be
Wow. And so did you want... First of all, every time I'm naked, I'm afraid. So let's start right there.
Perfect.
But would you have done, did you guys consider it? Did you talk about?
Wow. No, not like seriously, but we were like, oh my gosh, they're like actually interested. And I think we're so crazy, man. It's okay. I'm so glad we didn't do that. And we're here on our podcast.
Yay, sorry.
We've become podcasters.
Is it still on the air? Is there still a chance?
It is.
It is. You can view. Yeah, right? No, we're good now.
Oh my God.
We're good. I've had two babies. We're good on the naked and afraid part. I am also naked and afraid.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't want to do
that. That's just the name of motherhood. Naked and afraid.
Yes.
And in that gate, that show every day.
Ooh, oh, man. Jess, I'm so happy to see you.
You too.
Exactly. Jess and I go way, way, way back. I had assumed that Will and you had met before. Have you guys met before?
I mean, maybe in passing. Well, that's the funny thing about the voiceover world. So obviously, you know, when the guests come on, you look at resumes and stuff like that. So you and I have been on the same show.
Which shows, guys?
Well, we did Winx Club.
Okay. That I only recorded with other girls, so I know it wasn't there.
Exactly.
Unless it was like passing in the studio.
Well, no, that's what I mean is like, I don't, you're on shows with other people, but then you haven't met them and you're like, oh, wow, we were on a show for years together and never met.
That's so funny.
I feel like we did Winx Club together, but I don't think we met. Paths maybe at like San Diego Comic Con.
Like, that's possible.
Like, I feel like I remember, like, if we did, I think it was there. But
that's possible. Yeah, with San Diego Comic Con, anyone who's been there knows there's it's very easy to find people. It's not crowded at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple to maneuver, all that kind of good fun kind of stuff.
And I'm sure we have a ton of friends in common. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a small world that we're in, which is which is thankfully expanding. Which
I
is
feel
good,
like you're meeting Jess like my family. See, I've actually known Jessica since I was very young. Jessica was my co-star in my first ever voiceover TV show.
What show was this?
It was called Annie and Audie, and we tried very hard to find footage of it and have failed miserably. So yeah. I'm trying, I think it's like it might not have existed. Did we make it
deep
up?
Deep Nickelodeon like, vaults. No, right? Exactly. Like that was a definitely, like we must have done mushrooms when we were 12 and then that's what happened.
I
so basically
there. Yeah, and
you
I
did, and you didn't find
no. So listen, so there's a vault. There's actually a vault, and this is like when I was in college. So this is a while ago, but when it was, I there's actually a vault in the lobby, and I actually went to the vault, and I'm like, hey, and I peeked in. I feel like there's like VHS tapes, like walls of VHS tapes, like a crazy Harry Potter library, and I feel like I asked for Innie and Outie. I don't know. It's like all like I tried so
and
hard
they
to find
in
this
your face.
Wow. I think we like, all have those shows, though. Yeah. We all have the Nickelodeon. I would be in the Nickelodeon vault, too. Don't just sit there. Was a Nickelodeon show from 1988 that I starred on. So
we've
all got those. I got slimed. Awesome. That's how old school Nickelodeon I was.
But we haven't
met.
Do you see this? I actually have been slimed as well. So we also have that in common.
Nice. Yes, we have a lot in common.
I feel like the consistency of the slime back in the 80s was like chunky. And now it's like very shampoo-y.
It was not FDA approved.
I feel like I missed out.
We were also on the set of You Can't Do That on Television in Canada. And I think the rules are a lot less lax in Canada. I really got slimed. Like I was there with the opening lockers
Alistair,
and hey,
like,
Alistair.
Oh
hey, Moosey. Yeah, all that
you're
kind
so
of stuff.
Mad.
So
that's a dream. You're
old
like,
school. Okay, so wait. So walk me through then. Walk me through because the title alone would sell me. Walk me through Innie and Outie.
Oh, yes. Okay, let's do this. Go ahead, Jess. You do it. We talked about this when you came on my YouTube cooking show. We had a blast. Making bacon pancakes, bacon pancakes or something.
Bacon pancakes.
Because of her Adventure Time, we always, you know. And I really loved seeing you. So, okay, so Innie and Outie. Go ahead, Jess.
So, it actually wasn't animated. It was like stop motion, and it was like live action of belly buttons and Innie and an Outie. So yeah, and like they were like, mur, mur, mur. Like it was so weird. Like it's, Maybe that was a trip, like a mushroom thing. I don't know, but
I know, right?
They must have been.
It sounds like one.
The models, they would have a master shot just of two bellies, and they would be calling each other on the phone.
Oh yeah,
they would split screen it, right?
Yeah, I forgot.
And they would decorate the bellies with eyes, and they would animate them with stop motion, I believe. And the girls were like belly dancers, so they would move their bellies.
Oh yeah,
and she and I. But here's the ironic thing. So they hired me and her, right? And they wanted me to have the scratchy, kind of fun, textured
voice. I love it how
and
still,
like,
you still remember this. Yeah, like these things when they ask you, put you on the spot like that, yeah.
Oh, especially as a kid, because you're like, but I don't even know how my voice works yet. Like, how am I supposed to do this? But I remember it being like, oh my God, I love your voice. I've always been in love with your voice, Jess, always.
Thank you. Always. I mean, we're both raspy.
I guess now.
Well, before we go any farther, I got to know, who's the Innie and who was the Outie?
I think I was Outie. I'm pretty sure I was Outie. You know what? My mom is like borderline hoarder, and I bet I can still find the script somewhere in my mom's house. Yeah.
Girl, for real. So is mine. For real.
That's not a hoarder. That's a collector. Thank you. Piled behind me in my booth here.
I'm also a collector, so I totally get it.
Yes.
This is like very neat and tame.
My wife's different. My wife's like, oh, look, birth certificates. We don't need these. They're taking up a lot of space.
Digital.
That's like my husband.
She's like, oh, look, kids' shoes. Gone.
Yeah.
Jess, that's amazing. Yeah. So that was our first, I don't know, was that your first voiceover experience? Or
I think it was one of the first.
Because I know you started on camera.
It was like both at, I mean, yes, on camera. And then I think like the voiceover stuff started trickling in around the same time. Cause you know, like we, okay, so Will, we both grew up in New York City and had, mm-hmm. you know, auditioned in New York. You did?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm from born and raised in Connecticut. I did all my acting
Wait a minute.
In New York.
Wait a minute.
What?
I know one of, okay, okay, blast from the past. One of your neighbors
oh, no.
I'm actually really good friends with. Do you remember Alana Rosenbaum? Or wait, what's her maiden? I can never remember what her maiden last name is. Her name is Alana, and she was like, "Oh, Will was my neighbor in Connecticut." Hold on.
Oh wait a second. Is her name? Is it
Rubenfeld?
Rosenfeld? Rubenfeld. Her dad was Dave Rubenfeld.
Yes.
He built a bunch of the houses. They literally live on my street. Everybody called her dad Cool Dave. I literally passed the house she grew up in yesterday. I was in Connecticut yesterday, and we used to drive to school together occasionally. She was younger than me, obviously. Everyone is.
She's like one of my besties.
You are kidding. Oh, man. I think the last time, I would not be exaggerating in saying the last time I saw her, she was 7?
Wow.
8 years old, maybe?
Wow.
Cool Dave Rubenfeld. Wow.
Yeah, Dave.
Talk about awesome. A blast the
East Coast. Honestly, though, see, this is just goes to show you the East Coast is a really small, connected place, especially when you're growing up as a kid actor. And I found it really interesting the way that we all kind of gravitated toward voice acting because we were, you know, on camera people. I mean, Marlo Thomas literally scouted you, Jess. Like out of your school.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up in New York, you have so many cool opportunities. And at my school, like, mm-hmm. you know, they look for kids to do things. And I was at mm-hmm. PS 87 and they auditioned a bunch of kids and they picked one kid from my school and it was me. And I got to be on this really cool show called Free to Be a Family. You know who all started on that? Donald Faison.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like yeah, so we were both on that same show.
So you, because again, this is where Christy and I were different, is that you started doing voiceover as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was. And jingles, right?
No, I didn't do jingles.
I thought you did.
No, I never did that, and I didn't do Broadway. Did you do Broadway, too, as a kid?
I did. Yes, I did. Well, yes, I did Lincoln Center eventually, but I was on tour a lot. And so you and I saw each other in a lot of audition rooms. And then I met your little sister, who's the cutest thing ever, and also now a woman and a director.
Yeah.
And you're directing? Oh, my God. We have so much to catch up on.
And your dad was in two of my favorite movies of all time.
Which movies?
So that's a whole nother.
Which one?
He was in Night Shift and The Philadelphia Experiment. So I can't even.
I didn't know that your dad was a famous actor. What the hell? I'm the worst podcast co-host ever.
And in two of the greatest 80s movies of all time. I think Night Shift is Ron Howard's first film.
Yeah, that's so crazy that you said that because I just did like an interview on my friend's like a talk show and he's obsessed with Night Shift and we called my dad. It was actually on Father's Day and they like asked him questions about Night Shift. He was like the Barney Rubble, what an actor guy.
Yeah, and, what an actor. My brother, there's a room in my house that it's a bathroom that half of the room is dedicated to movie quotes and there's just pens. And so you can just walk in and write them up on the wall.
Amazing.
And Barney Rubble, what an actor, is there like front and center.
Yes.
So your dad has made the quote
he
wall.
Made the
it's one of the best movies ever. Barney Rubble.
So funny.
What an actor.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up around
He was Jerry in Splash, too. I can't. Oh, man.
So that's a sensitive one because he actually had a much bigger part in Splash. And then they ended up like cutting a lot of it out just because of like the story and whatever. And he was so upset. Like who directed that? Ron Howard, right?
Ron Howard.
Yeah,
there was another Ron Howard movie. Yeah.
Called him and he was like, Bobby, I just, you know, before you come to the premiere and see this, I just want you to know that like a lot of your scenes were cut. And my dad was so upset he didn't go to the premiere. He was just like so hurt.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
Still in two or three of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah.
And that's just, those are just my favorites. I mean, his resume is amazing. But we're not here to talk about him. And I am also not going to hold it against you that apparently you're doing other people's talk shows and podcasts. That's okay.
But so, what did he think about you getting into the business? So I am curious.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, nobody, like, it happened accidentally. Funny enough, my mom took me to an agent before the Marlo Thomas thing, and she was like, they're like, okay, you know, say yum, this is good, mom. And I was like, I can't do that. And I was like in first grade at the time, and I was like, I can't do that. And she's like, why? And like, because you're not my mommy. And so the agent turned right around, sent, you know, handed me off to
God
my mom.
God forbid you have boundaries.
Yeah. And then my mom's like, okay, we're not doing this. And then, or, you know, and then the Marlo Thomas thing happened. So I like, it happened accidentally. So I think my dad was like, all right, you know, go for it, do it. Yeah, I'm sure he's like, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, just like, it goes to show, like, you know, you just, as an actor, you have zero control. And like, the fact that like, you know, like my dad's, you know, did book that, you know, Splash and was in all these, you know, scenes. And then like, you know, that happened to him. Like, it's just like, I mean, since then he's had like, he had great things happen also. But,
oh yeah.
But you know, it's like a tumultuous thing and you have no control as an actor. So he was probably like scared. But, like, I think he's proud that, like, you know, I did it in one, you know, like, with the voiceover thing.
Well, you've built, and so say, like, what you've built is almost like a legacy. And I mean, like, I'm talking about it and I'm being very honest. Like, you are one of my favorite voiceover actresses ever.
Oh, my God. That thank you. Coming from you, that's so nice.
No,
thank
seriously,
you.
You're up there with, like, E.G. and Tara. I feel like y'all are my top three.
So. I mean, I
hope I'm in the top 10.
So.
Thanks, Christy.
You're actresses, female voices.
Different category.
Female.
Come on,
but
different category.
I'm kidding. So then, okay, so we know that for Christy's first one is Innie and Outie. Do you remember what your first ever voiceover gig was?
I think it was that. It's either that or this thing called
one
The Girl with Her
first,
Head Coming Off. Yeah, as a kid. And then, and I
oh my God, I remember that.
You remember?
I remember that was also Nickelodeon. That was also
it was
Nickelodeon.
The shorts, yeah. Do you have... Were you in that one too? I feel like we were in all of the same things together.
I feel like
you might have been in that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think
maybe
I remember it. Do you remember the studio called Hothead Studios that had those like weird puppet things and you have to climb the stairs to go into the booth?
No, that's maybe. I've locked out a
and
lot of
stuff.
And
they were carpeted.
Is this in New York? Are we back in New York?
Yeah, we're back in New York. And
okay.
Poor kids. Yeah. I remember it so vividly.
All that weird 80s studio decor.
Totally.
Okay,
totally
so Jess,
80s. Yeah.
When did things get more serious?
Wait a second.
For you?
I'm sorry. What? Are we seriously just blowing past something called The Girl with Her Head's Coming Off? We're not going to discuss
that was
this
Nickelodeon.
At all.
You of all people know Nickelodeon the 90s content was off the wall. It was
it was nuts. It
you're
was an
right.
acid trip.
It was
you're
like,
right.
oh, we have the big help, but then we have Ren and Stimpy. Oh, you know, it's
you're
like they
totally
were trying
right.
so
it was
hard.
Bonkers. Yeah.
Yeah, bonkers.
Yeah, it was
exactly.
Weird.
That's the word. Bonkers. I would use. And then, and it was fun. We've all been there in New York. They had their studios, and you would like pray to get a callback to go into the audition.
Oh my God, yeah, because
like,
the studio
area.
Was so cool. I used to love,
and they
going
still
there.
Are. Like, I love going them to them still to this day.
I know
the big red couch, and now that
I'm so bummed.
Kids,
was this
like,
still
no,
was this back
anymore.
In the day? Was it so? What for, so for people that don't know, Nickelodeon started in New York, and it was at the Viacom building because MTV, Nickelodeon, they all,
my,
and then
Times
in,
Square. It,
yeah, and then they moved to Florida because we opened the Nickelodeon, my co-hosts and I of that show that I was that Don't Just Sit There, we went and did the 3-hour live opening in Florida, so they moved everything down there. Mm-hmm. So
no,
was
they
this was like 91.
I'm sure they had all three operating at once. I mean,
okay, so they were still going expanded. In New York? Okay, good. Okay,
good. And I remember like even though I had worked a ton with Nickelodeon in New York, the casting people at Nickelodeon LA was a totally different team. And it took me 7 years to book something at Nickelodeon in LA. 7 years.
That's crazy. That's
I know.
Crazy.
Wow.
I know. I'm trusted. Like you guys know me. I like cut my teeth on like doing Nickelodeon stuff. Like, come on. Like I just want to work on a show. And then
I'm part of the family. I have the t-shirt.
I had like that
You're
lamp.
Like, just listen
that, like,
to my voice.
I like launched Noggin. I was like, I did a bunch of like, I do like Nick, I mean, I did Nick Jr. promos for like 10 years. Like I did all those, like I did on camera stuff for them. I did like shorts, like from, you know, anyway, it was just,
man.
But anyway, it took
a
long time.
So you were a fellow Nick kid.
Yes, I didn't. Yeah. Yes, that's so. Again, but why didn't we see each other back then?
I have no, because I'm older than you. I mean, I'm a good. My guess is I'm a good 5 to 10 years older than you. So that makes.
We're
I mean,
just
with Nickelodeon, you're like,
yeah,
Nickelodeon. But once it's like, hey, kid, you're 16. Get out of the building. You know, you're used up. We've used you. Get out.
Oh my god.
So
where do we take this interview though? Like in terms of her time, her timeline. Oh. It's just like.
Well,
just so
I mean, let's keep going. So you started in New York.
Okay.
Doing voiceover, and then you went from went where from there?
So New York was just like, so that chapter, just to sum it up, was just like, you know, lots of on camera like lots of running around New York auditioning for like commercials and movies and TV, and like there was voiceovers there here and there, but there was no animation there. And mm-hmm. after I had grown up all, you know, around acting my whole life, I actually decided that I wanted to produce and direct. So I went to college, I went away to school to produce and direct and to be behind the camera. And, you know, it was funny, though, like literally like the week before I left for college, I got a phone call from these Nickelodeon producers like, hey, we're launching a new network called Noggin. Do you want to be the voice of it? I'm like, I'm leaving for college. They're like, don't worry. Fax us your schedule and we will work around your schedule. I'm like, great. So so it was amazing. So I worked all 4 years of college, and then I auditioned for this. I've told the story so many times, but I'll just tell it super fast. I auditioned to be
a
4-year-old bear.
Can I just mention something?
Yeah.
The Noggin gig that you had through college, was that not like the best college job that you could have probably had?
Oh my God. It was seriously the best. Just that it's the best job as a mom too. It's like,
oh yeah.
Voiceover
yeah.
is just the best. The best. So I'm so happy you guys are celebrating it.
So can you run us down on what announcer work on a grand scale like, especially being someone in college, how the consistency of the work and what that was like?
It was great. I mean, I actually wasn't allowed, I wasn't able to go abroad because I was working. So I feel like I kind of like missed out on stuff. But I'm like, no, I'm professional and I'm working and I'm not going abroad. It's fine. But, you know, it
how
was
often
just,
would you record? Like when would they just give you copy every day, every week?
It wasn't. I'd say I probably recorded like maybe, so you know how it goes. Like sometimes it's like, you know, a couple times a week, and then you go for like a couple months without doing anything. And then you do like once mm-hmm. a week for a stretch. It was very random. And I remember they told me, they're like, we can cut together you saying anything at this point. You have said every single word for us like over the course of these 4 years. So you better watch out. I kind of wish that they did that. But, and then, oh my God, you'll appreciate this, Christy. So I have a 4-year-old son, and he just got an audition. Like he's like starting to like do it a little bit, really. But he had an audition for Noggin, like this Noggin thing. I was
full
like, oh my God. I'm like,
full circle.
Yeah, it was so crazy. It was so cute. But anyway.
I do. I so appreciate that.
Yeah. So so I auditioned to be a bear on this like Dumbo Part 2 movie, and the casting person actually, it was Jamie Roberts, actually. He thought that I was a real kid. And so when I...
Oh, that's always great.
Yeah. And so when
She's
I went...
She's got a good kid.
And I feel like it was even more nuanced now. Now I'm like... But then it was like really like dialed in. I mean, it's still dialed in, but I feel like I was putting, you know, anyway, but so he...
Can
he,
we get a little kid? Can we get, can we get a little kid?
After two kids, I'm like...
Exactly. This is the fun part. This is putting you on the spot. I love
which
it.
Which I'm totally here for. Okay.
Okay. My name is, well, I'm a 4-year-old and I am a little bear. And like this is what I did to kind of trick Disney casting to think that I was real. So then I went in, and then when I went in and he said, I was like, hi, I'm Jessica. And he's like, oh no.
Wow.
We must have got the wrong person. So then he's like, you should move to LA as soon as you graduate.
And I did. And then
wow, that is unbelievably impressive.
So Jess,
wow.
you yeah, I'm so riveted. I can't even, like, I'm so impressed by you.
The next chapter involves you, because the first show, I booked two shows, Disney shows, this one, The Emperor's New School, which was exactly when, at the same time that, like, you know, Kim Possible was around. Like, we were, like, of the same, you know. It was Emperor's New School, The Buzz on Maggie. I played Maggie on The Buzz on Maggie, which was my first show. And then Emperor's New School, which ended up going, like, 3 seasons, which was great.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so that.
Was Patrick Warburton on that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I thought. Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Jess, did you just always know that you had a voice? Was that, like, what is your relationship to your voice? Did you practice being a kid? How did you find your voice?
You know, I didn't know that I could do that until there was just, like, an audition for, I remember this project so well. I think I told you about this, but it was this project for Nickelodeon, and it was about this 4-year-old girl, and I just tried to sound like I just got the audition, and I didn't book the job. I don't remember what happened with that, but
how did you not book that job?
I don't know. You know, I was also this close to being the voice of Blue from Blue's Clues, and I think they decided to not have her talk. But I feel it would have been me. Like, I had, like, 3 callbacks.
What was your Blue's Clues? What was your Blue's Clues sound? What was Blue?
It was basically what I did. It was just like, hi, my name is Blue. And it was just basically my, like, you know, it was just that. Because that was when I discovered I could, like, sound young. And and I was like, okay, so I had a taste of this, like, animation thing. And then it happened when I moved out here. So, and then I jumped into the pool with you guys.
Yeah, so, with Disney.
Yeah, with Disney.
Now, did you notice? Wait, I have a question. Did you notice a big difference between the voiceover world in New York City and the voiceover world in LA? Was it hugely different?
Oh my god!
Such as what? Like, I'm curious how, because I didn't start voiceover till I was out here, so I never had a single voiceover audition when I lived in New York.
That's
I was only doing
surprising.
On-camera stuff, so I'm curious what the difference is between the two.
I'm actually surprised to hear that, because I feel like there's just always, like, voiceover auditions, like, I don't know, that's really weird. So in New York, first of all, most of it is non-union. None of the big studios are there. So when you come out here, it's like big leagues. You're like in the game. You're like with the best of the best. And I remember, oh my God, just like, wow. Like, one of my first jobs was, I can't remember which one was actually first. They happened in the same, like, couple weeks. One of them was to play, like, on Jaker's Adventures of Piggly, whatever. So it was like, I played, like, the American cousin, and it was like playing Tara Strong's, like, cousin. And then I was also on All Grown Up, which was, like, the spinoff of Rugrats. So I was in the booth with, like, Kath Soucie, like, you know, Phil and Lil, and E.G. Daily, and who else was in there? I think Tara was there too. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, it was like such an amazing dream come true. And I couldn't believe it. And I was like so nervous. Yeah.
So is that what you felt? I mean, it's seriously, there is a feeling. And again, New York, I imagine it would be exactly the same feeling for a stage actor in Los Angeles that then goes to New York.
You're totally, you nailed, like, it.
You know, it's like, totally. I am here in the big leagues. I am in New York City. I am near Broadway. This is where
and it's
I
like
want to
be. It's visceral.
Yeah, it's got to be that same thing for on camera or a voiceover actor. Like, I'm in Los Angeles. This is where it all
nailed
happens.
It. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Totally.
So, and it's like,
that would
and
be
like,
very, very interesting.
It was just fun to, like, play with, like, you know, like, I felt, I don't know, it was just such a great transition, like, to come to the big leagues, you know?
So did you feel like you were like, I am now actively going to commit my efforts to focus on voice work, or were you still trying to do other stuff? Like, how did you balance that?
Yeah, so I was like,
well,
okay.
Because you wanted to be a producer and a director, right? I mean, that was, so you know.
So, you know, my first thing, my first job out here, like, while I was auditioning, was, like, I was a assistant on this reality show called Married by America, and it's like basically like Love is Blind, you know, but different, but like in a very, like, rudimentary, like, it was very like an old, like a very old iteration of that. And I just sat, I had to sit there at the desk all day, and, you know, got paid such garbage, and running to get coffee for people. And then all of a sudden I book all these shows. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, I'm doing voiceover. Well, at least at the end of the day, you got to put out a quality product like a reality show about marrying a stranger.
And I kept them caffeinated.
Which is where we are in society. Which is,
you kept them caffeinated.
Yeah, I want to go back really quickly to your college experience. So you're going to school and you're studying to be a producer and director, but you're also doing voiceover and the main voice for Noggin as you're in college.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Do your friends know this? Like, does anybody know that you're doing this, or is it just I'm doing just on the side. I'm just kind of doing this stuff.
It was so normal to me. Christy, it's like this stuff was so normal. But I did know.
Did you go to school in the city? I mean, were you still there? So you got to do.
No, I made the choice to leave, and that was a very clear. And you know what? It's interesting because if I stayed in New York, I would have continued to audition. And I feel like I kind of made that choice. And I was auditioning at the end, right before. Man, I had so much momentum. I was right before I went away to college. I auditioned for these big casting people who do really cool stuff. And I was going to be Natalie Portman's understudy in a play. It was Anne Frank, The Diary of Anne Frank.
Yes, Anne Frank. Oh, yeah. I know one of the girls that booked that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did a great audition and didn't get that, but they gave me the part for this NBC miniseries called Witness to the Mob. They just gave me the part.
I remember that too.
Yeah. So, and I played Sammy the Bull's daughter.
Yes.
And so, and this was right before I left for college. So I'm if I had stayed, I wonder,
But that's that's the nature of the business. There's that old saying that they say if you really want that audition or you really want that part, you book non-refundable plane tickets on the day of the audition.
Yeah.
So it's that same thing. It's
so true.
Okay, I'm giving up the business. Yeah. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to college. And then it's hi, excuse me, you've got a Martin Scorsese on the phone for you?
Right, exactly.
You know, it's that kind of stuff. So you just keep saying college. Is there a reason you don't want to tell us where you went?
I went to Syracuse.
I'm curious as to where you...
Yeah, no, I went
Oh, you did? Okay, all right. Yeah. So
I'm not hiding. I went to Syracuse. I was in the Newhouse School for Communications, a great communications program. That was another reason why I left, because it was such a kick-ass program.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a great time there. It was I ended up oh man, I just fell in love with the process of making something. I had my own show called Quarter Life Crisis, and I just directed and produced and edited, and I would spend all day and night just tirelessly. But I was so happy about it, editing in the editing bays, and I ended up winning this big deal award from my school because I made the show. And you know what else? The timing is so crazy. This was also right before YouTube. It was 1 year before YouTube. If I had made this show,
we're definitely not the same age. Yes.
YouTube, I would have been a pioneer of YouTube. You know, it's just crazy the timing.
Okay, so as an artist, you have to ask this: the quote unquote smaller thing you did in college, but got to build yourself from beginning to end, or the bigger parts that you've gotten, which one made you feel more accomplished as an artist?
Oh my God, that's a toss up. To feel, I want to feel that same feeling that from college when you were making your,
you built it.
I'm gonna direct again. Now it's crazy because of, 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. But at some point, once they're a little bit older,
three kids too many for me. Yeah.
I'm going to start directing. I'm going to start making stuff again at some point.
Do it.
But yeah, I can't wait.
You should. Yeah. You should cast Christy. You guys should go off and do Innie and Outie, the live action version.
Oh my God. That's genius.
Live action. Yeah, I love it.
No, freaking, but I mean, even it's just.
It'll be our stomachs, but it'll be postpartum. Innie
yes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Innie and really Innie and really Outie. Or wouldn't it just be Outie and Outie? Don't they just pop out when you have a kid?
Yeah.
When you're pregnant? There's no Innie anymore.
Oh yeah. Actually, we may have to talk offline. That'd be kind of cool. Anyway.
Wow. Anyway.
So for Disney, I was I started with Disney right away, and then I was on two big shows, and then a bunch of things for Disney. And then it took me 7 years to get into Nickelodeon. And
Nickelodeon,
right?
Yeah.
I've been consistently on Disney shows for a very long time, and right now I have a lapse, and I'm like, what's going on?
The way it is.
I feel so weird. I don't have it. Yeah.
And then you do, and then you're once again, you're like, that's it. Career's over, washed up. I'm done.
I'm done. I got the gift though this year, so I'm like, okay.
Okay, I'm still on a mailing list somewhere.
Yeah.
But no, that's always the way it is. Again, I would say plan your first great European family trip, non-refundable plane tickets, no insurance on the trip, and you will book whatever you want that week.
I'm going to put this to the test.
I'm telling you, did you move out to Los Angeles to pursue acting, or did you move out here because you had a job?
I did not have a job when I first moved out here. I moved out here with a suitcase worth of 2 weeks of stuff. I drove cross country.
Yes.
And I just kind of figured it out. And I had it, you know, like, I mean, I had an agent, so I was like auditioning for things, but it wasn't like I had a place to, like, you know, I slept on couches for like a good few weeks. And I was like, oh, I guess I need to get an apartment. Like, it was such a fun, exciting time, you know, like, you don't know, like, what you're figuring everything out for the first time. This is also the first time away from, like, my family, you know, mm-hmm. like 21, 22.
Away.
Like, you know, I had mm-hmm. I had a car, but, like, it was just such a crazy time. Like,
yeah,
it was like sink or swim. You
always hear that. But you also hear that where you hear a bunch of people that go, like, you know, I don't understand anyone who would try to get into that business. It doesn't happen for anyone. You get in your car, you drive across, you're sleeping on friends' couches. You're never going to make it. And we talked to all these people where that's the story. And you they made it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like they had their dream, they followed it, and they did what they had to do. And it's like, and then 2 weeks later, I was on a show. Like, oh, come on. Like,
happens.
You know what happens?
It does still happen. Yeah.
It does still happen.
Yes. I think you really have to love the art and the craft of it. And even, dare I
and
say
top ramen.
You have to love the business side, right? Like, you have to have the mindset of, like, I'm not going to be deterred.
Yep.
I've got a dream. I believe in myself enough to know I have talent. And then you let it go from there. And you it's like, I remember I used to have, like, an acting coach that said, the winners have amnesia. So, like, they don't, you know, they don't remember the failures or whatever. It's just they're just so focused, right?
So,
they have blinders on.
So when I first moved out here and when I first moved out to L.A., Christy, you had already booked Even Stevens and was whisked away to L.A. to film your TV show. Like, where did Christy
go? I was one of the New York kids that got out.
Me too. Me too.
You went to L.A. And then there was, like, Lacey Chabert out. You out. Like, who else?
Yeah.
So you were around for, you know, in LA, like, you know, working and doing the thing for, like, many years before I got here. So when I got here, I remember, like, you know, I was still kind of, like, new to LA, but then, like, Emperor's New School, I went to some, like, Disney press junkets, and then I saw you for the first time. And I remember walking into the room, and you were getting hair and makeup done, and you were, like, so, like... You'd been around, like, you had been doing this, like, you were like a mogul. You were like, yep, like, and you were already up to Kim Possible, so you had done Even Stevens, you did Kim Possible. This was before Beauty and the Beast. Then I remember hanging out with you. You were in your, like, G-Wagon, in your, like, in your fancy apartment building, and I remember just being like, oh my god. Like, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's awful. She's terrible.
So
I was a terrible. I was a terrible person. I was terrible, and I spent all my money. Like, what the heck? Don't learn from me. Learn from Jess.
But you know what? It happened so young.
You're not a terrible person.
That was age appropriate, Christy. Like, you did what you should have been doing.
I had fun.
Like, that was totally.
I guess, yeah.
Yes.
But I will say that voiceover work, if you can really get it and figure out a way to make a living with it, it's more consistent. And I think it is. I think it's more rewarding. When people ask me at Comic-Cons, Christy, what are you most proud of? It's Kim Possible. It's like,
yay,
I love the fact,
awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, that spans
that
generations.
And the G-Wagon. She says the G-Wagon.
I'm not proud about that G-Wagon.
She's like, the G-Wagon is what I'm the most proud of.
He was like, oh my God. I was just like, wow. I was like a little country bumpkin, like, just moved out to L.A.
And, like, from New York City.
Yeah, right, oh from the city, from New York City,
yeah,
from the small little burg of New York, of Manhattan.
But L.A. is different. Like, you don't have cars in New York. And, like, I'm like, Christy has arrived.
Yeah, there's 9 million cars in New York City. I've never met a single person that owns one. That's the weird thing about it.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with a car.
So,
Wow. Thank you for that,
you're
Jess.
You're here and you've started to take over. You've started to take over the business. You're in every. Now, can I ask you a question? You said that when you came out here and it was the Rugrats kind of spinoff where you're sitting in the room and you're with EG and you're with Tara and you're like, oh my God, do I belong here? When did the feeling of I don't belong here imposter syndrome go away?
Does it ever go
away?
And
when were you kind of like, that's what I'm asking. Do you still have it every time you walk into the booth? Do you still walk in going, I don't belong in here with these people?
It's funny because like even today, like I did this project this morning and I just remember like having to give myself a little pep talk. And then like, you know, some people like, they're like, wait, you're like, come on. Like they were like, you belong there. You're fine. Like, don't like, come on. And I was like, okay, yeah. I'm like, okay. But but yes.
Who is it that tells you that? Is it your partner?
Mom.
Is it your agent?
My mom told me. I'm good friends with Eric Bauza. So, like sometimes I call him. I'm like,
Eric Bauza's voice.
Yeah.
And he always tells you to do it in the voice of Bugs Bunny, which he taught us to do. So that's what he's probably telling you the entire time. Like, you belong there.
Yeah. And then like other friends too, but
that's good. So, but it's nice to know, and I think people out there need to hear.
Yeah,
but that it doesn't matter how much you're working.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't even talked about Bratz and everything else, where it's like you're doing these huge things, and you still walk in every time and go, I don't belong here. Like this is I do that all the time.
Yeah,
it's like, I still don't. Belong
here. For sure. There's definitely like you know. Because, I mean, it's like a creative thing. And, like, every character that you do is, like, a new thing. It's, like, a new character. It's, like, you can definitely relax a little bit, like, when you've been doing a character for a while. Like, I'm sure you guys feel comfortable and confident in your Kim Possible characters, you know? But, like, when you're doing something new, like, uncharted territory, you know, it's, like,
it's very insecure.
This right?
Yes. Yeah. I swear, we do these things on this show where we'll do Across the Garden later. And, like, every time I get put on the spot, and when we were at the Comic-Con last weekend, we have a live animator or illustrator rather, right, Will? And he handed me one and Will turns to me and goes, do this voice. And we're in front of like 200-300 people. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh God.
But like, you killed it.
Oh, thank you. But it never gets easier because you're in your head and you're trying to process all this stuff in your body and you're like, I just want to, what do you do to make all of these characters so different? Because you really do. All these characters are so different.
You know, it took me so like, okay. So there was a time where like I was doing a few, like a bunch of characters that were so similar. Like to me, I was like, from the outside, I'm like, oh my God, people probably think they're so similar. But you know what actually helped me? Watching John DiMaggio do this Star Wars panel where I think it was like the first time they did this, where they read the Star Wars script, but like it was a panel of like, you know, it was like Tara Strong. It was like famous and they did like, you know, like Darth Vader as like Bubbles and like John, you know, so John did Jake and he did Bender. And really it's his voice. It's his voice. But when I watched him do it, and it's on YouTube, you can watch it. They're such different characters, even though it's still his voice. Like, they're such different characters. So you just have to lean into that, like, what the actual character is, like, what their personalities are. So as soon as you, like, lean into that, then I feel like you can remember and, like, you know, differentiate and, like, so I remember that helped me. There's all these little things you learn along the way, you know, from the
pros. He's a good one to watch, too.
People you work with.
He's a good one to watch to do that kind of stuff where you see the character switches. He was our Draken and he was our Motor Ed. And there was a couple of episodes where both the villains were on at the same time. And you just see, I mean, Bauza does this too, where you just jump back and forth and it's this kind of crazy, you do have a ton of voices in your head, but you also know how to capture them, which is the amazing thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I think we have to get our guest is going to be joining us now. We have a guest joining.
Yes.
And so you know, Jessica, we do a little segment here that we call Across the Garden, where we get to bring in an amateur voiceover actor who gets to step up to the microphone and show what they are made of.
Yay.
And we are going to be joined today by Chris Johnson, who's coming in. We're very, very excited to have Chris with us. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, my God. How'd these people get in my house?
Nice. Oh, look, all set up and ready to go.
Look how pro.
I absolutely
professional
love
booth.
That.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank
she has a better
you.
Mic than
Thank
me.
You. He does.
Welcome to my Franken booth. I appreciate
it. Where are you located, Chris?
I'm out of Columbus, Ohio.
Nice. Yeah. I love me some Columbus, Ohio with the one-pound pizza slice, the Bronx Bomber.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So we have a big cheese problem here in Ohio.
And there's no such thing, my friend, unless there's not enough of it.
There's not enough.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, hello, welcome. This is Jessica, and this is Christy,
Hi,
and I'm Will.
Oh my gosh, it's so great to actually meet you guys in person. This
is
so crazy.
We are so excited to have you join us. Did you get your script?
I did. I love it. I think it's great.
And you will be playing Wally.
It's weird. I've never played a gopher before, you know? So
there you go. So we've got Wally the gopher. If everybody recalls, Christy and I play two little mice called Mocha and Ricky, who were named very quickly without any thought whatsoever. And Christy and I still to this day go, I wish we'd done that better and named them differently. But Mocha and Ricky are trying to get across the garden to get to, I think, Mocha's boyfriend, who is at the mall. This is becoming a very long trek to actually get to this mythical mall.
I feel like
mall.
The relationship might be on the rocks a little bit.
We'll have to see. We never know what happens, Chris, in the world of animation. But we are going to, I'm also going to be reading the stage directions so everyone can follow us at home. But then our hope, our goal, and for all of you amateur animators out there also listening, is going to be to have these segments animated to make one cartoon so everybody who got to come on and join us gets to be in their very own animated show.
Oh my God.
So
I
it's
going to
be
That's so cool.
A ton of fun. We can't wait. So if you are an amateur animator out there and you want to show your chops as well and what you're made of, please hit us up at Christy Dewey. We have the what is it, the Instagram page, right?
Yeah, it's I Hear Voices Podcast.
I Hear Voices Podcast on Instagram, and you can hit us up, and we can send you all of the raw material that we have here with these amazing actors and incredible amateur voiceover actors, and we will put together this wonderful cartoon. By the time we're done, unfortunately, it's going to be 32 hours long, so it's going to be a long episode.
We're going to have to cut
it. Like the last season of Game of Thrones.
Exactly. We are. Chris is exactly right. It is going to be like the last episode of Stranger Things, where you're like, is this really 2.5 hours long? But it is. So here we are once again, and we are going to pick up where we left off. As memory serves, Ricky and Mocha were, well, still looking for the mall. So here we are, everybody. Everybody ready?
Ready.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here we go. So we fade in. We are exterior woods continuous. Mocha and Ricky continue their journey.
Mocha, are you sure your boyfriend is worth all of this?
Of course he is. He's the best person I've ever met. I really hate him, though.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, that's dating. Besides, it hasn't been that bad.
Just as she says that, the two mice step on a tripwire and activate a trap. A log, of course of mice proportions, swings down and knocks them both out. Time lapse. Interior tree later. A voice.
Are you awake over there? I'd open up them eyes if I was you. You want to be with it before she gets back.
Ricky and Mocha stir. We can see they're now tied up in a little tree jail. They look around the room and find Wally the gopher also tied up in the cell.
Ouch, and ouch again.
Yeah, I'm guessing you done stepped in one of her traps. They can right hurt, they can.
The giant log to the head, you don't say.
But I thought I did.
Okay, you know, you said we should be awake for when she gets back?
Actually, he said gets.
All in means the same.
Who is she?
No Three Arms the Pirate. She's the scourge of these here parts. Only wanting one thing old No Three Arms does.
A better name?
No gold! And lots of it, that's why I'm here. She thinks I got a ton of hidden gold.
From the darkness, we hear.
Arrgh! And you ain't going no place until you give it to me!
This is like the second strangest garden I've ever been in.
Seriously. Both Wally and No Three Arms look to Ricky and Mocha.
Second?
Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore
was awful.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The pirate then finds a shaft of light and strikes a pose.
Allow me to introduce myself. I be No Three Arms the Pirate, scourge of these parts and seeker of gold.
Yeah, we've been briefed.
Why do they call you No Three Arms?
I mean, isn't it obvious?
Crickets.
I only have two arms!
Crickets again.
But all of us here only have two arms, so...
Yeah, why not just call yourself, like, No Three Eyes the Pirate? Well,
guy in Maine calls himself that.
No 3 feet?
Sorry, good one.
But no, it's not. You stop trying to rename me! Ha, now, about that gold.
Oh, I done told ya! I ain't got none!
Then why do you have all this prospector's equipment?
Well, that's just it. I just bought me that stuff, and I was on my way out there to find the gold when your trap done snatched me.
Oh, wow. I am so sorry. I thought you had the gold already.
Nope. On my way to get it.
Oh, jeez. Well, here you go.
She unties his arms.
All right, now, back to the pirate. How's about you? Do you have me gold?
Definitely not.
Uh-uh.
Mm-mm.
Okay, then.
She undoes the binders.
Guess I'm 0 for 3.
Yeah. Okay, just real quick, the mall.
Yeah, sure. Up 3 trees and follow the grass line.
Thank you, I guess.
Almost makes you miss Baltimore.
For real?
Yay! And scene. Chris, you are awesome.
Wow.
Thank you.
No notes. No notes.
Awesome. We should record the next one. I'm kidding.
Chris, notes.
Oh, gosh.
So good. So Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where can everybody find you on socials if they're looking for you?
Yeah, totally. I actually host a Bad Movies But Not Bad Movies podcast with 3 of my best friends in the entire world. You can find us. It's a Trash Watch podcast where sometimes the movies are trash, but most of the time they're everyone's treasure. This last week we talked about the 1984 Ghostbusters,
which is favorite the
movie.
Best movie ever. If you say rad one more time in the same word as trash, Christy, I'm going to find my way to Texas and come hit you. Not going to happen.
That came up this week. We were talking about that, too. I'm like, we can't talk bad about Rad because it's so good, and Will never talk to me again.
Thank you. Exactly. The best movie. Have you seen it yet, Christy? I'm not even going to get started. And how
I'd
about
rather watch it? Naked and Afraid, okay?
Wow. We're not even going to get into that.
Oh,
how about your personal socials, Chris?
You can follow me on TikTok. I go under MostlyStories86. And I just wanted to say again, like, thank you guys again for doing what you do. You were such a big inspiration for me this last year. I grew up in a small town in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't have a ton of friends growing up. And being a part of, like, a Saturday morning animation block was kind of like having my friends over every weekend.
Aww.
So it was a lot for me just to be like, you know what? I'm 35, which is crazy to think trying to start this thing, but you know what? I want to do it, and I want to do it because I want to be somebody's, you know, inspiration as a kid, too. I think we all need that right now.
Dude, you are so talented.
That is
awesome. We love you, Chris.
I love you guys. Like, I listen to you literally every day.
That's awesome. Well, I'm telling you something. You've certainly got the talent, so... It's then just about getting the opportunity, and that leads us to something where we can't say exactly what yet, Chris, but this is for everybody out there where we're going to be making a pretty major announcement here on I Hear Voices, and it's going to be something that's a lot of fun, and the voiceover world will never be the same again. Is that too big to say?
Ooh.
I don't think it is.
I'm intrigued.
No, I think it is. Okay.
I think so. So we appreciate you joining us, Chris, and keep up all the good work. Everybody go check out Chris's stuff. The podcast sounds awesome. As long as they don't touch Rad, we're good.
trust me, I defend everybody. I don't dislike a single movie. That's my rule.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And
exactly.
So thank you so much for joining us. You knocked it out of the park, my friend. This
well
is
done.
Very, very
so
cool.
much heart.
Jessica, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just really quickly, I'm so sorry, Jessica.
Please.
Is seriously my favorite Kingdom Hearts 2 character of all time. I think she's so underrated, and she got such like a bad rap because like she's not in it that long, but you connect with everybody so well, and I'm just over the moon about it.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Kingdom Hearts 2. Jessica, that's another one. Another one we were both in together and we haven't talked about.
That's so funny.
And bitch! Well, 2? Not the second one. The first one.
Yeah.
I was Yuffie on the first one.
Well, Chris, Chris, you have so much like heart and nuance in what you were doing. Like, I just want to say, like, keep doing that. Like, you know, you were so grounded and natural and realistic and like you know, it felt very grounded and real, which was like amazing. So good work. You put so much heart into it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And by the way, you joined us
my whole year.
Yeah, you joined us right after Jessica told us an amazing story about packing a bag with 2 weeks worth of clothes and driving out to Los Angeles and sleeping on friends' couches.
Oh, yeah.
And then she started booking left and right. So it still happens, Chris. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Do you have a couch I can crash on?
Of course. My address is... You can do it, Chris. I'm telling you, it is not impossible. We've all done it. It is not something that is like, nope, I can't possibly... I'm from a small town in Connecticut. So is Christy. Jessica's from a small town called Manhattan. So absolutely, it can happen. You know. And keep up with it, man, because you were great.
Yeah, keep challenging yourself. Thank you guys. You've got a lot of talent. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much for joining us, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, hon.
Bye.
How cute.
Man, that was great.
He was so talented, man.
He was really, really good.
He was one of the best.
And that's what we get here on I Hear Voices. So we are getting some people that maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity anywhere else to just come on and show how good they are or can be given the opportunity. So that's something that we are very happy about.
We didn't even scratch the surface with Jessica's like recent or just in the last 10 years work. Like she's done, like we said, Kingdom Hearts, freaking Adventure Time.
Oh yeah, no, it's like, well, this is the joy, another joy, I'm sorry, of this show, because we only do like half of the show or three quarters of the show of the interview, which means we get to bring everybody back.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Which is the fun part. I mean, I think Andrea Romano, we talked to Andrea for almost an hour, it was like 45 minutes, and we were up to 1983.
Oh my God.
So it was like, yeah, there is so many people out there with awesome, awesome stories. And again, Jessica, we just scratched the surface. We were both in Kingdom Hearts 2 and still never met.
Which I was fired from, so that's awkward.
Wait, what happened?
That wasn't a stipulation on my part.
I'm sure it was Will's fault. No, basically, Mae Whitman replaced my voice as Yuffie, and I'm pretty sure that the director didn't like me. But I loved, you know why? Because it was my freaking G-Wagon.
That's what it was. It was your G. You rolled up in the G-Wagon and you got fired.
I don't like this girl. Yep, no worries. I love Mae Whitman, so it's all good.
Mae. Yeah, I remember.
That is so funny.
Well, yeah.
So Jessica, if we were to invite you to come back, would you come back?
Yes, I would love to.
Because we have so much left to talk about.
Yes, I love talking to you guys. Christy's right. It's so awesome.
We scratched the surface with all this, the amazing stuff you've done. Yay. And what do you have coming out, working on right now, and where can everybody find you on social?
That you can talk about.
Exactly.
I did have a cool one today, which I can't mention, but I'm on Instagram. That's all I have time for these days with my little ones. But Instagram, I'm at Jessica DiCicco, DiCicco. And what stuff do I have coming out? There's Close Enough on HBO Max. There's, The Three Caballeros on Disney. I think that was made for Disney Plus, but I think they're just starting to air it on Disney, but I'm not sure. I have to check on that. Anyway, another season of Loud House. I have this cool project I'm working on in like a British project, like a BBC project, which is like so excited.
Do you have a British accent?
No.
Do you have a British accent in it?
No. I don't have a British accent in it. I play an evil character, and I think your kids might. It's based on a book series that's like actually big there, and I think your kids will like it.
I know what it is. I think I know what it is.
We'll talk about it off microphone here.
That's what's exciting.
Oh my. And then the NDA stuff. Yeah, so you've got a bunch of stuff coming out. Again, we didn't get to Loud House and we didn't really talk about Bratz and there's so much left to talk about with you, Jessica. So you're going to have to join us again.
Tell your mother, tell your sister I said hello.
I will.
I miss them. I love them. You get back to directing when you can.
Yeah.
But we'll talk to you
later. Yeah, hopefully we can brainstorm and...
Oh my God. When the kids are older.
I will be front and center for Innie and Outie. Let's put it that way.
I bet you will.
Yes.
I love how it's a show about an inverted belly button and an outverted belly button.
I have a feeling that they're one's pregnant, one's not. One is somebody that's about to have a baby with an Outie, and one is the Innie, and who the Innie is in relation to the mother, and how that.
Wait. Wow, I think you are giving a backstory to something that probably doesn't deserve this much thought, if I'm honest with you.
Dude, we missed the boat. We should have done this when we were both pregnant.
Exactly. I know.
Audi and Audi.
Well, can't you just hire two pregnant women and then you guys do the voices? I mean, isn't
that's
that just
right.
The,
oh, yeah.
The easiest way to do it?
You're so smart. Yeah. You're
have
so
to recast
smart.
Every 9 months.
By the way, anybody out there listening to our show who has original footage or can find anything about Innie and Audi,
yes, please.
Also hit us up at I Hear Voices Podcast, please,
maybe,
on
like
Instagram.
The troll
because
who works in the archive at that in the dungeon at Viacom.
I feel like.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like my mom hoarded it as well, by the way.
What was it? The girl whose head fell off, or what was
the
that one called?
The girl with her head coming off. I have like VHS of that somewhere. I'll find it.
Please find that and send it to us.
Yeah,
because those are all going up on the
on my list. Yeah, I have to find it somewhere. My.
Well, Jessica,
so
thank you so much for
to
joining
you guys.
Us.
Yes,
and
yay!
That you're coming back to help us again because we're gonna make
I
you.
Can't
we got
wait.
Too much left to talk about.
Yay!
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jess.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Wilfred L. and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Wilfred L. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?